Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 73 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Kenzie Thompson.
And I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Parking will be an obstacle, and then just the transition of the facility itself.
One of MSU's buildings will soon be open to the public as a recreation center.
The Riverfront Trail in Ashland is being paved.
At least 46 people in Kentucky have been diagnosed with E. coli, according to the Kentucky Department of Health.
A house fire in Lawrence County ended in one fatality.
Another search for the missing woman in Richmond was unsuccessful.
In sports, the All-A's Classic continues.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Tonight, mostly clear skies with a low around 44 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead State University's Laughlin Health Building will soon be open to the public as a community recreation center. Moorhead City Council unanimously approved a memorandum of agreement with MSU Monday night that will see the city lease the building from the university at the cost of $25,000 per year. Mayor Laura White Brown says the first order of business will be to ensure a smooth transition for all stakeholders.
I think parking will be an obstacle, and then just the transition of the facility itself. So what I'm proposing to the university is to send out a memo to students, faculty, and staff acknowledging the change to at least get some information out to people that we may not reach on an everyday basis interaction with.
Council members also approved a memorandum of agreement with the county government, which has pledged support through labor and janitorial services performed by a county employee or detention center inmates. The lease agreement between the city and MSU runs from May 1st to June 30th, 2020.
More changes are coming to the Pike County Solid Waste Department. Last month, the department announced a significant increase to the solid waste rates in the county. With those in place, Pike County Judge Executive Ray Jones says the department is now going to make improvements to service quality. He spoke with EKB TV.
We recognize that there are times when the service provided by the solid waste department is below par. That it's not up to the standards that the people of this county deserve. One of the things that we think will improve the level of service and efficiency in solid waste is we will be moving to a four-day pickup schedule.
Jones says by making the switch to a four-day schedule, the department will save money with more efficient pickup routes and will leave an extra day for truck upkeep.
The Ashland Riverfront Trail will soon be paved. WMKY's Tandy Wallingford has the story.
The city of Ashland voted to pave the trail during their monthly meeting last week. The Boyd County Fiscal Court donated the rubber that was used to extend the trail during a volunteer work session last June. However, city officials recently realized that the rubber mulch material wasn't working out and had it removed. According to the Daily Independent, the city will now pave the trail, which will cost more than $38,000. The trail path will also be widened from 5 to 8 feet. Paving is expected to begin within the next few weeks. For WMKY News, I'm Tandy Wallingford.
A committee is recommending that Western Kentucky University suspend 101 of its academic programs. The proposal comes after a comprehensive evaluation of all of the academic offerings at the university. The committee recommended suspending 11 undergraduate degrees, 4 graduate degrees, and 86 other credential certificates and minors. Acting Provost Cheryl Stevens said in an email on Monday that the committee is ready to present its case to the Board of Regents on Friday. The board is expected to vote on the proposal on May 10th.
The Kentucky Department of Public Health says at least 46 people in the Commonwealth have been diagnosed with E. coli, and 6 of the infected have been hospitalized. The KDPH is also reporting that the particular strain of E. coli is rarely found in the United States. Officials have documented cases from many parts of the state, indicating the source of infections likely originated from a widely distributed food product. However, state epidemiologist Doug Thurman says pinpointing the infection source isn't easy.
because it takes a lot of effort to interview every single case, get all of their food history from a couple weeks ago, you know, from a couple weeks before their symptoms started, and then to look at all those and delineate what is common among those. And of course, there's a lot of commonalities. A lot of people eat the same kinds of things in our society.
People typically become sick from E. coli 2 to 5 days after being infected. Symptoms include diarrhea, severe stomach cramps, and vomiting. Anyone experiencing these symptoms should see their doctor. Young children, the elderly, and people with weakened immune systems are most at risk for developing complications from E. coli infection.
Kentucky gubernatorial candidate Adam Edlin offered a plan on Monday to decriminalize the possession of small amounts of marijuana for personal use. More from WUKY's Josh James.
The former state auditor announced details of the proposal at stops in Lexington and Louisville, adding to the list of progressive policies endorsed by the campaign. The Democrat said the current system of incarceration, quote, makes no sense and is costing the state.
We just can't continue to lock people up for something that is legal in so many other states.
Under his proposal, people could face civil fines but not be charged with a crime for possessing less than half an ounce of marijuana for personal use. He estimates the state could save $15 million a year, money he would direct toward treatment for Kentuckians in recovery from opioid addiction. Edlin is running against Attorney General Andy Beshear, House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins, and retired engineer Jeff Young for the Democratic nomination for governor. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A new report by the Annie E. Casey Foundation found Kentucky has made improvements in placing children in state care with relatives or foster families. More than 8,000 children in Kentucky are in foster care, and about 81% live with relatives or in a family setting. Dr. Terry Brooks with Kentucky Youth Advocates says while more family members are taking care of a niece, nephew, or grandchild, they aren't able to access state resources.
The particular issue in Kentucky is that kinship supports have not caught up with kinship realities. So you have this rising number of kids living with a grandma or a grandpa or an aunt or an uncle, and yet we as a state don't have good supports for them unless they're foster parents.
While the state is seeing a rise in kinship placements, the report found Kentucky had the lowest rate among states in using relative foster care, that is, relatives who are also licensed foster parents.
The 2020 census day is April 1st, but opportunities are opening up now to help ensure the count is a success. The Census Bureau is charged with counting every person living in the United States once each decade. It's a massive undertaking with important consequences, including distribution of federal funds and drawing congressional district lines. Tim Olson is the Associate Director for Field Operations with the U.S. Census Bureau. He says they'll soon be hiring more than 500,000 workers, and people can apply online through the Census Bureau website.
Whenever anybody goes to that site, as they put in their address, it will identify for them what the local pay rate is in the county they reside in, and we'll walk them through a very simple online application process.
In another first, when the count begins next year, the 2020 census will also allow the public to fill out their census forms online. The Census Bureau is also pertaining with government and community leaders through the formation of complete count committees. Olson said so far there are 46 such state-level committees pushing the message that census is simple, important, and safe.
We'll be back with more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
A 2014 Ohio law made to forward all sexual assault kits for testing has led to nearly 14,000 kits being submitted in 2018. Ohio has doubled the number of rape crisis centers to 31 in the past 5 years. Carrie Black is the Rape Crisis Center Director at the Toledo YWCA. She says the well-being of survivors is the number one priority.
they're understanding the complexities of sexual assault and that survivors are very traumatized. And so they're learning different ways of interrogating suspects versus interviewing victims.
Current and proposed bills are expected to extend client privacy privileges and eliminate the current 25-year statute of limitations for victims to report any kind of sexual assault crimes.
New details have been reported in the death of a Cynthiana native who died in Texas. WKYT reports 38-year-old Emily Wade died of hypothermia as a result of being in cold water. She went missing after her vehicle went into the flooded Chambers Creek on January 5th. Her body was found several days later. Investigators say there are no signs of foul play or drowning. Her vehicle was never recovered.
One person is dead after a house fire in Lawrence County. WSAZ reports the blaze began just before 8 a.m. yesterday at the home on Kimberly Lane in Burlington. When crews arrived, the two-story building was engulfed in flames. One woman and a dog made it out with minor injuries. Firefighters later found the body of one person in the second story of the home. The name of the victim has not been reported. The state fire marshal's office is investigating alongside local law enforcement. They say it may be weeks until a cause is determined. Foul play is not suspected.
An Estill County man was arrested after police say he was caught dancing on top of cars in the Richmond Walmart parking lot. LEX 18 reports Jeffrey Smith was seen dancing on the vehicles without shoes. When officers arrived, Smith did not give a reason for the dance party and was irritated and could not stand still. Smith was arrested and taken to the Madison County Detention Center. An arrest citation states that Smith admitted that he used heroin inside the detention center. He is now facing charges of public intoxication, possession of a controlled substance, and promoting contraband.
A 17-year-old in Scott County was charged with murder on Sunday. Officials found 47-year-old Michael Smith fatally wounded. They say an argument between Smith and the 17-year-old led to the shooting. Bridget Lancaster is related to Smith. She tells WKYT she couldn't believe what she saw when she pulled up to the home.
So when I first got here, I spoke to one of the officers, and he pretty much told me I had to come over here and cross the street and wait to find out.
The 17-year-old is facing charges of murder, wanton endangerment, and minor in possession of a firearm. The name of the teen has not yet been released.
Another search for a missing Richmond woman was unsuccessful over the weekend. Police received a tip to search for Savannah Spurlock in the Cavern in Girard County. Police, state troopers, emergency management staff, and fire and rescue workers searched Saturday. A member of the rescue squad was lowered into the cavern. Officials say the search didn't lead to any more information on Spurlock's disappearance. Spurlock was last seen January 4th in Lexington. Taking a look at the weather for tonight. Wednesday, sunny, high near 70. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 45. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 81. Thursday night, a 10% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Friday, showers and thunderstorms, high near 72. Chance of precipitation is 80%. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 47. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 71. Taking a look at your local temperatures, 76 degrees in Ashland, 75 degrees in Inez, 72 degrees in Winchester, 73 degrees in Lexington, 70 degrees in Flemingsburg, and 74 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, a new program allows adults to earn a GED and a college credential simultaneously. WMKY's Cassidy Stearman has more.
Kentucky's Community and Technical College System launched a program called GED Plus last week. The program allows adults to earn dual credit at KCTCS facilities. Participants in the new program will have the opportunity to earn their GED plus their college certificate within a few months. Dr. Stephen Vasek is the president of Maysville Community and Technical College.
Unless somebody has the skills to be able to compete in today's, you know, marketplace, they can't go to work. And so what GED Plus is trying to do is say, okay, since you're going to be in these GED programs, we want to help you get a skill so that you can go out and get a job when you're done.
Vasek says the administration has tweaked credential programs.
We've gone in and we've highlighted the short-term credential programs, and we're talking about, you know, weeks and months, not years, where someone can go at the same time as they're getting their GED and get like a nurse aide certificate or a certificate in welder's assistant, those kind of short-term programs that are, you know, 8 to 16-week programs.
GED Plus will help adults earn opportunities they might not have had before.
With these short-term certificates we're talking about, most of these are going to be stackable. And so if you go ahead and go through GED Plus and you get a certificate, it may be a short-term certificate, but it can then apply toward a two-year program. And beyond that, because of our articulation agreements with Morehead and NKU and some others, potentially you could even go and get a four-year degree.
BASIC says students are responding well to the program.
We even had a young lady from Elizabethtown Community Technical College who came to the press conference we had on Thursday, and she talked about, because she's really sort of already been in this program now, she wasn't she wouldn't have the resources yet, but she was working on her GED the same time she was working on a certificate. And now she's finished that, and she's going on, and ultimately her goal is to work toward a master's degree.
The program is a little different than others when it comes to the focus.
For us, our formula for KCTCS is a little bit different than the four-year institutions, and then ours is sort of more focused specifically on workforce development.
BASIC says funds are not what he's focusing on.
This is good for students, and that's really what we're most concerned about. Right. So I'm just excited that we get the opportunity to take some of these students who, again, I think otherwise might have been marginalized and get them into programs that are going to help them do something with their lives.
BASIC also says the program appeals to a variety of students.
You know, you even see a lot of students who might have been good students in high school, but for whatever reason, life just kind of got in their way. And, you know, it could have been a child was born or family member got sick and maybe they dropped out and or weren't able to go on. This gives them an opportunity to do that now.
He says the best part is the cost to students.
Because they don't have already an associate's degree or higher, they'll qualify for Work Ready Kentucky. And so it will pay for their tuition and fees. So basically, they can take the classes for almost nothing, if not nothing.
Kentucky invested $15.9 million in scholarship funding to fast-track skill certifications.
KCTCS has committed some of our own resources to provide about 1,000 scholarships of $400 for everybody who is in GED+. So the first 1,000 are eligible for $400 in a scholarship so they can pay for books and supplies.
The program began this semester. For WMKY News, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
It's 4:47 and 73 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Kinsey Thompson, here with Nacogdoches Miller, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us this sunny Tuesday afternoon. Naya Andueza has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pond, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Bypass Pond buys, sells, trades, and loans almost anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Bypass Pond is open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 on Sundays. 897 Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Phone number is 780-7296. Facebook and online, bypasspond.com.
The All-A Classic continues tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Naya Andueza. Taking a look at softball action across the 16th region's All-A Classic continues tonight. Bath and Menifee face off, and Raceland meets Elliott for that tournament. Otherwise, East Carter hosts Boyd County at 5:30 p.m., Lewis County travels to Greenup at 6, and Russell heads to Huntington, West Virginia. In baseball 16th region All-A action tonight, Elliott County meets Rose Hill Christian, Bath faces Raceland, West Carter matches up with Menifee, East Carter hosts Green Up, and Lewis County welcomes Montgomery. The Morehead State University baseball team is currently in Game 1 of their matchup with Alabama A&M. The game was originally set for 11 today, but was rescheduled due to some travel issues. Eagles head coach Mike McGuire says the guys are happy to be home themselves.
Obviously, you're not on the bus, not in the hotel. I mean, I think that part is always a plus for us. And then we have a very good history at home, and we've been one of the best home teams in the country, in the last 4 or 5 years. So I think that all helps.
Tomorrow's game with Alabama A&M is still set for 11 a.m. The Morehead State softball team is back in action tomorrow. The Eagles travel to Richmond to face in-state rival Eastern Kentucky University for Ohio Valley Conference play. EKU is 19-15 on their season. They traded wins with Tennessee State University over the weekend. Morehead is struggling with just 2 wins so far this season. First-year head coach Samantha Jones says the team is focusing on small improvements on the field. In the series, the Colonels have won 9 straight games and hold a 50-25 series advantage. The Eagles' last win over EKU came in 2015 in Richmond. Wednesday's doubleheader at Gertrude Hood Field begins at 3 p.m. The game will be streamed live on ESPN. One member of Morehead State University's baseball team is receiving a nod from the OVC. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg has more.
Morehead State's senior left fielder Jake Hammond has been voted the Ohio Valley Conference Baseball Player of the Week. Over a quartet of games last week, the Smyrna, Tennessee native hit .529 with 8 RBI, 2 home runs, 5 runs scored, and a .941 slugging percentage. He opened the week Tuesday with a pair of hits at Ohio, then erupted for 7 hits and all 8 of his RBI in a series sweep over visiting SIU Edwardsville. On the season, Hammond currently leads all MSU field players with a .392 batting average to go along with a team-high 8 doubles. He is the 4th individual MSU player to earn an OVC weekly honor in the 2019 season. For WMKY Sports, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The Cincinnati Reds are back at home for the rest of the week. They'll be trying to snap an 8-game losing streak as they begin a 3-game series with the Marlins. The Reds most recently dropped a 4-game series to the Pirates, with the last game getting a little heated after an intentional throw at Derek Dietrich by Pittsburgh's Chris Archer. Cincy right fielder Yaziel Puig tells Reds.com he got a little worked up during the ordeal, but he's cooled off and ready for a new day.
People said something bad, hit a home run and watching the ball going, that's no more baseball. Cervelli and the other players start talking that he's going to throw the ball. He should go and throw the ball, not say nothing, and throw the ball.
First pitch this evening is set for 6:40 at Great American Ballpark. The University of Kentucky's P.J. Washington is entering the NBA draft. Washington has the top scorer and rebounder this season, averaging 15.2 points and 7.5 rebounds per game. He made the announcement in a video on his Twitter feed earlier today.
It still hasn't hit me that I played my last game in a Kentucky uniform. The staff challenged me from day one to become the best version of myself and to work hard to become one of the best players in college basketball. I feel like I've done that.
Analysts predict Washington to be a round one draft pick. The Kentucky Horse Racing Commission's equine medical director is concerned about the future of the sport. Dr. Mary Scully raised some concerns following the death of Cathedral Reader, a filly, who was euthanized after suffering an injury during a race. In California, nearly 24 thoroughbreds have died in race-related accidents since December. Scully spoke with WKYT.
What happened in California has impacted horsemen, horses, racetracks everywhere, and we can't afford to be glib or say it's somebody else's problem. Nobody benefits when a horse gets hurt. Nobody benefits. And I think the horsemen are acutely aware of the increased scrutiny for the sport across the country.
State lawmakers on the Administrative Review Subcommittee met in Frankfurt today to discuss rule changes aimed at improving the welfare of horses. Kentucky's thoroughbred race-related deaths nearly doubled to 36 in 2018 compared to 2017. And that'll do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Ndweza.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball hosts Alabama A&M tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Softball hosts Eastern Illinois on Saturday and SIU Edwardsville on Sunday. For more information, from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials fell for a second straight day as investors awaited the start of corporate earnings season later this week, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 190.44 at 26,150.58. The S&P 500 was down 17.57 at 2878.20, and the NASDAQ was down 44.61 at 7909.28. And market focus is centered on corporate earnings results, with major U.S. banks set to kick off the first quarter earnings season later in the week. J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo are both poised to report their figures on Friday, while Citigroup and BlackRock are scheduled to publish their reports early next week. Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and Morgan Stanley all fell at least 0.5% in today's trading. American aircraft giant Boeing dropped nearly 1.5% as investor angst over its decision on Friday to cut production of its 737 MAX jets kept pressure on the stock. Regulators and stakeholders alike are scrutinizing the company in light of two recent fatal 737 MAX crashes. In other trade-related stock news, shares of Caterpillar fell 2.4%, while Deere dropped 3.7%, and Disney, meanwhile, rose 1.6%, one of the few winners today after a brokerage upgrade. And this same analyst said that or told clients that its film pipeline should boost profit over the next few years. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.5%, finishing at $64.03 or $64.05 a barrel. Gold was up 0.5% at $1,308.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a bad day, with the Stock 600 index down 0.5%. And in Asia, most markets were up, with the Nikkei up 0.2%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.25%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Disney and Coca-Cola, and the worst performers were Caterpillar and Dow. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Cerner and Monster Beverage, while the worst performers were Pentair and Under Armour. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down $1.07 at $112.90, Marathon Petroleum down $1.19 at $62.17, PPL up 7 cents at 32, Fifth Third Bank down 44 cents at 26.43, Dollar General down 86 cents at 121.44, and Anthem was up 59 cents to finish at 290.09. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at the upcoming events in the region, the Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, April 9th at the Round County Public Library. Individuals with mental illness or family and friends of people with mental illnesses are welcome to attend. The group meets on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Haley Stidham, Grant Johnson, Cassidy Stearman, Chaz Jenkins, Tandy Wallingford, Wyatt Melton, Keneally Roberts, Jacob Lindberg, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today comes from WMKY's very own Cassidy Stearman. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, and translator W202VH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Nacogdoches Miller and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Kinsey Thompson for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.